Last week, we were having this discussion about cryptocurrency, and so many of our listeners had input and questions that we've asked David England to return on the subject this morning. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Okay. We got to start at least a little bit at the beginning.
Yes.
And that is cryptocurrency itself, and what is it? All right. Now, here's a definition from NerdWallet. What is cryptocurrency? It is a form of payment that can be exchanged online for goods and services. Many companies have issued their own currencies, often called tokens, and these can be traded specifically for the good or service that the company provides. Think of them as you would arcade tokens or casino chips. You'll need to exchange real currency for the cryptocurrency to access the goods or services. Cryptocurrencies using a technology called blockchain is a decentralized technology spread across many computers that manages and records transactions. Part of the appeal of a technology is its security. What would you add to that, David?
Well, I think one of the analogies we did last week that I think hit home with a lot of people is the digital wallet. One of the most confusing things is when people put cryptocurrency and they search it, they see an image of a gold coin with a B on it. And they get confused that it's actually something tangible, where it's not. It's just the opposite. So it's digital, and that explanation that you said, yeah, that's very thorough. That's what it is. But think of it as electronic currency in your electronic wallet, and that'll cut to the chase pretty quick.
One of the first people that reached out to me after you and I finished last Monday was somebody said they had been, and you know what? What's interesting is said this is just Dick and Jane's, right? Access to CryptoCoin, Bitcoin, and they use an app called Coinbase, and they say that's
yes.
My digital wallet where my value is kept. It also allows me to track the value, which, by the way, Bitcoin dropped dramatically over the weekend. We were around 42,000. It dropped to 33,295.
Well, you know, one of the things that we discussed last week, Tom, which seemed like it was a month ago, was the volatility of Bitcoin. And I said, you know, you got to be super, super careful with that. And one of the things that I did different before this segment is on the Facebook page, I went ahead and posted some charts. And one of them is to show the ups and downs, the violent price swings that Bitcoin has had. Now, this is in trading in U.S. dollar Bitcoin, okay? But the percent price swings from 2017 to 2018, it was up over 2,000%, and then it came down 85%. Remember, where the percentages work, you can't be up 2,100% and down 2,100%, okay? So up 2,100, down 85%. Then up 303 in 2019 and down 73%. And then in February or March, when this thing bottomed around the 23rd, it was up over 900,000% again. So anytime you have anything that has that much run, you shouldn't have to ask yourself, is it a bubble? It most definitely is. But it's not a question of if, but when profit-taking starts to hit. And hence, that's one of the major concerns which people should have before ever investing in Bitcoin or any of the other top cryptocurrencies that's out there.
All right. So here's a question on that very subject that was just texted in on the American Monument text line. So cryptocurrency fell dramatically over the weekend. We just made that mark. But
yes.
Is it just a regular correction or pullback, which is historically good to make way for the asset to rise higher?
Tom, before anybody should ever invest in anything, they've got to know that security like the back of their hand, or else they're just gambling. So what I suggest to do, and this is part of the things hopefully we'll get into in a little bit about the steps in case you want to get involved, but one of those key steps is go in and calculate the percent pull previous pullbacks. You'll see that a 20% pullback is not uncommon. The question is this the bottom? And nobody has, since nobody out there that I know of knows the equation for the algo trading that's really moving this thing. Yes, the value of the U.S. dollar, which has popped some overnight. The futures, the more the risk trade, which that's what this is, the uncertainty is going to drive the price up or down. But in a situation like this, is it doesn't take for the dollar to come up just a little bit, the value of the U.S. dollar in relationship to other currencies, for some of these risk trade items to go down. And yes, this is common occurrence. So, I mean, if you're going to trade cryptocurrencies, you need to have a cardiologist on staff.
Okay, because it's a roller coaster. Question for David that comes in from Bill this morning from the America Monument text line. What happens to your crypto if your computer is hacked or the internet goes down?
Well, first of all, thank you, Bill, for taking the time to send the question in. Many of the people that promote cybersecurity say that it cannot be hacked. And as we spoke last week, that's an absolute. I don't live in a land of absolutes. I think that there are many, many entities out there that have probably figured out how to get into some of that and already have. So one of the challenges with Bitcoin, it's not like the money that you have that's safely in that local bank that's protected by the FDIC. Well, that's one of the inherent risks that you could have if, now that's a big if, your wallet would get hacked. But the security of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies is pretty top shelf because your wallet, you've got a login and a password that nobody else has, which I must also flip this in too. If you get involved and you get a digital wallet, do not lose your login and most important, your password, because to get your password back on your email account is not tough. To get your password or change it in your Facebook account is not tough. To get that password changed in your digital wallet, good luck, man.
Okay, that's a good note right there. All right, here's a two-part question, David.
Yes.
Now, we use the term Bitcoin. That is one specific type of cryptocurrency. How many different kinds are there for question number one, and where do you buy them, number two?
First question is Bitcoin is the one that has the most market cap, the largest share. So we're using Bitcoin synonymous with cryptocurrency, but there's hundreds of cryptocurrencies out there. I would focus on the top three, and also I would focus on the one that takes up the most oxygen in the room, and that's Bitcoin. But there's also pluses and minuses, which we can't get into here, on some of the others. But Bitcoin is the industry leader, the one that is being accepted by more retail places, by more processing banking places, and these types of entities. And that's one of the reasons why it has the largest market cap, which, by the way, when Bitcoin hit 42,000 the other day, the market cap for cryptocurrencies hit over $1 trillion. Now it's down today, but it hit over $1 trillion.
All right. There's another question.
Yes.
It seems that cryptocurrency has its most action overnight, indicating the majority of overseas trading is a main driver of the rise and fall of the coins. However, with hyperinflation, I can see it becoming more active in the U.S. during our trading hours as more and more people dip their toes into the crypto waters. Is cryptocurrency driven at overnight trading and we're just kind of behind here in the U.S.?
Well, sure, it's no different than our equity markets driven by overnight trading. Whenever the Oriental markets close, the European markets are already going on. And then the European markets are going on, and they shut down about 11 o'clock with their equities. But, you know, some of our brokers let us trade 24/6 if they really want to. So, yes, it's no different than the equity markets. And, Tom, I overlooked the previous question, that second part. Please forgive me.
Where do you buy? Yeah, I guess we need to talk about that, too. Where do you buy?
I don't want to be rude. The first thing that you do is contact your current broker, ask them if you can trade cryptocurrencies with your current broker. If you can't, then here's two. And, by the way, these aren't recommendations. But one of these has an excellent training program, and that's the Coinbase. Contact Coinbase. Contact Robinhood. Once again, these are not recommendations. Google top cryptocurrency brokers. Now, there are different brokers because of the rules and regulations. There are a difference with crypto than it is regular currencies because of the high regulations, which, by the way, that protects us a lot with the United States markets, too. It's not always negative. So, yes, those are two, Robinhood, Coinbase. But first, talk to your broker to see if you can trade cryptocurrencies. And then here's another one I'll throw out, and that's why it's really exploded in popularity. Take a look at PayPal.
Oh, yeah.
PayPal is one of the things. You know, I can order from my local store, pay for it, if they're set up for this, pay for it on my PayPal account with a fraction of a cryptocurrency, have another business deliver it to my front door and not have to get out of the house, all paid for by cryptocurrency.
So somebody texted me last week and we were talking about your appearance and the money and the value had gone up. And one of our listeners texted in and says, yeah, but if you go down to the car lot and say, I want to buy that car with this cryptocurrency, they'd laugh you off the lot.
Well, they've got to be set up to take it too.
Right.
But that is true. It's not 100% everywhere, but it is in a whole lot more places. And those entities that take cryptocurrency, they're really a lot more popular, and you've seen some of their stocks really go up. But if they take PayPal online, they're going to take cryptocurrency.
Okay, here's another one. This is out of left field. My friend Steven just texted in and said, Tom, I'm listening to you and David this morning. He says, I'm really hoping he'll give me some contact information so I can get with him later about my retirement.
Well, first of all, tell him I appreciate taking the time to text in. I don't do buy and sells. I teach people what to look at and how to make better educated decisions. Have him just go to my Facebook page and send me a private message, and I'll be right back in touch with him. Or better yet, just go to the website, ionthemarketanalytics.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter, which, by the way, Tom, if you remember last week, I said that I'd be preparing a special report on cryptocurrency. Spent a lot of time on that this weekend. I'm looking to finalize that next weekend.
Okay.
So anybody that signed up, they'll get it the following week.
All right, here's a computer expert who has just texted me this morning. He knows about cryptocurrency. What he doesn't know is the tax implications for profits on cryptocurrency. Are they similar or different from those from stock and similar investments?
Depends on if you get 1099 from wherever your broker is. I'm not going to make an absolute, say yes, they are, no, they aren't. But many people, now listen to my words carefully, many claim that they are not, and that's one of the popularities. But Tom, render to Caesar what is Caesar. You want to get in tall water, I don't want to find out that it is after the fact, because they're probably going to make an example out of you, and they should be.
Yeah, right. You know, a lot of people last week while you were on, because we had isolated ourselves to the issue of cryptocurrency.
Yes, sir.
But there were a lot of questions about precious metals, gold, silver.
Yes.
And you posted, of course, that chart to kind of show the rides of both of those. But when it comes into this, are there advantages to holding gold, silver, and Bitcoin diversity? I mean, this is because you use the term roller coaster, and you better have your heart doctor around because these things fly around. What discuss the strategy for those Bitcoin or other cryptos or precious metals?
Okay, there's a couple questions in there, Thomas. Dissect it first. The gold, if I get the gold, silver versus crypto, when you buy what. To simplify this the easiest, picture gold and silver as the analog risk trade. Picture Bitcoin as the digital risk trade. And that can help kind of, you know, keep the waters from being so muddy. But, and also on that chart, if people go to it, they'll see that since when the money started coming in last March, Bitcoin was up over 525%, where gold was only up 17%. Silver was up 85, so that tells you where the big money was going. But now also, we must be realistic here. People don't buy, and institutions don't buy gold and silver just for price appreciation. They buy it for when stuff so-called hits the fan. But so many people buy silver in anticipation as an insurance policy if something should happen to our financial system, which that's a real long shot, super, super, super duper long shot. But some people can sleep better at night knowing that they have silver that they could barter if they want to. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the second part of that question, please remind me again. What was that second part?
A strategy.
A strategy. Okay, here we go. First strategy, number one. Number one, never invest or trade money that you can't afford to lose.
You know what was interesting? When that I was telling you about the woman who reached out to me and says, I use this app to do this, and she says, I had $1,000, I wanted to go try this, and it was like the second thing out of her mouth is, but I was prepared to lose it, and that's why,
yes.
And I thought that was really odd because I don't prepare, I'm not psychologically driven to be prepared to lose $1,000, I'm just not that person.
Well, that tells me that that lady is an investor and a trader, and then she has what we used to call boat money, okay?
Yeah.
That's that money you threw in a sock that occasionally you would buy your lottery tickets or you'd go to the boat with. You remember those days?
Right.
They're kind of past now because of all the things that you can do about it. But let's get to the – Tom, let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to the real question that people want, and then I'm going to answer their second one. I don't mean to be jumping around.
Well, what is that question, David?
So many people are looking – why should, and this is what they're saying, not me, why shouldn't I just go ahead after we've had a huge bull run and a huge recovery from last March, go ahead and sell off my securities that aren't moving very fast and turn that around and just buy Bitcoin? Now, that's the real question that people want to have. Well, the question with that is the amount of risk. So the closer you are to retirement, the more you should be concerned with the return of your money than a return on your money. So, let's just say we take 5%. Here are your steps. One, we talked about this earlier. Research the previous pullbacks. If we see that it's pulled back 20%, 30%, well, then number one, let's just wait until there's a 20 to 30% pullback. And so research the previous ones. Get the nature of the beast. Then watch for similar pullbacks. We may be on them right now because from the high of 42,000 to where we are an hour or so ago, was down almost 17-18%. All right? You'll see similar pullbacks. Do that research. Then the third thing, once again, only invest or trade money you can lose. Begin with small percentages. If and when you get up 100%, so let's say you buy it at X, it is now X and Y. It's double what it is. Take your original money out and only play with the house money.
Right.
Some of my security, my associates that are big into crypto, their stop loss, their price point is where it's going to be 10 years from now, not where it is dollar-wise.
Yeah, I know a lot of people use that same mentality when they go to the boat.
Yes. Yeah, how'd that work out for them usually?
It didn't work out very good.
No, it sure didn't. But that's one of the things that they're looking at. And any time that we see something that runs 500 or 600% in less than a year, that obviously gets the animal instincts of human nature. But folks, please, please, please do not think this is a slam dunk, because you're up against some of the biggest, sharpest, deepest minds and wallets in the world out there.
All right, I'm going to hit one last question before I let you go, David. Here's just came in from the text line. What is, and the reason why I'm asking is because I'm curious too, what is the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust that is traded through brokers?
Okay, that we talked about a little bit the other day, and this is one of the things I'm going deeper on in a special report. If people don't want to trade Bitcoin because they may have to go out and get a different broker, they can trade those types of trusts in an ETF. So what that is, that's the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. The symbol is BTC. And Grayscale Investments is one of the industry leaders in the Bitcoin area and blockchain. What it does is it actually trades through derivatives, future swaps, and those types of things, digital currencies. So they do the trading for you. You go in and buy or sell or short BTC, and you can take advantage of the up action by going long, the down action by shorting it. And then also, since it is traded on our United States exchanges, there's a whole lot more regulation that has to go on, which, by the way, that protects us as investors and traders.
Since you and I started this morning, the price of Bitcoin has dropped $400.
Okay, so percentage-wise, that's minimal. So, folks, just think of that. You jump, you know, please don't just go cash out your retirement accounts and jump into Bitcoin. If you do, please stick your toe in just a little bit, test the waters, and go from there.
Right. All right. Dave, really appreciate it, and I really appreciate all the people that texted in the questions this morning. This is an interesting subject. What kind of really got me started was when this NFL player said, I want to be paid in half in Bitcoin.
Yes.
And I started thinking about it a little differently after that. And, you know, he says it represents freedom because it's not issued by a government, any government. It's a totally different thing, right? It's And like I said, a good healthy dose of skepticism is never a bad thing with this, is it?
No, sir, it's not. Caveat emptor, buyer beware. Do your homework, and it's going to be interesting to see how far this risk trade is going to go, Tom.